threat of disaster is never pleasant.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast.
These safety measures are essential.
The only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment.
This will be your source of survival instructions and information. Every member of the family must be coached in the business of survival.
Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Yeah,
movie time.
Who is the star of this movie?
It's Gerard Butler.
That's right. We're real excited because we got a new apocalyptic movie hour.
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
It is exciting. I didn't realize this movie came out in 2020.
That's
when the rest of the world was falling apart.
That's true, huh?
I don't remember.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Really?
Would have done way better, probably.
Probably.
Had it come out.
Or maybe not. Yeah. I mean, probably in the theaters, yes, of course.
Yeah.
But home viewing was probably great.
That's true. Because it did. That's where we didn't go to the theater. I keep mixing it up with Geostorm.
Oh, gosh.
Because we went to Geostorm.
We might talk about that. Yeah, that was not good.
That's all right. Gerard was in both of them.
You win some, you lose some. But yeah, we're excited.
Right? Yeah, we are. We are very excited. Mm-hmm. You know what else I'm excited about?
What?
Having self-reliant medical care.
Oh, man, that's exciting.
I can't tell you, really. This hits close to home.
It does,
like, I love when people can take care of themselves and I don't have to.
That's right.
So, there is a book that can teach you guys how to do this. It's called The Prepper's Medical Handbook, and it is written by noted wilderness medicine expert and survivalist William W. Forgy.
He's got a good Scottish name.
William W. Forgy.
Forgy.
You want to learn medicine? I've got the book for you.
Let me see your cut. I'll fix it. Yeah.
Tie it up. He's an MD, and he has expertise in wilderness survival and medicine. That's like best of both worlds. He's my first pick in my wilderness survival plan.
Yeah.
Or in my apocalyptic plan. But the thing I like about the book is it's easy to read. It's not full of a bunch of confusing medical jargon.
Ugh.
And it'll just get you to the point of taking care of whoever it is.
Yeah, just get me to the promised land.
Give me the problem right now.
Okay.
Yeah. The book is affordable, and it should be the only book you have in your library because it's the most important to us, and it helps us.
All right.
So go get it. No, it's a great book. Right. Go to preppersmedicalhandbook.com or go to amazon.com and basically fix yourself with all the medical expertise of William W. Forgy.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Cam.
Sit back and relax. Grab your popcorn.
It's the apocalyptic movie hour.
Yeah, man. Should have tweaked it and had it more Scottish.
I know.
It's the apocalyptic movie.
That's too much work.
Yeah, it is.
Every time we do it, it's like geared towards whatever movie we're doing.
Yeah.
Right? Somehow.
That would be a pain.
I ain't got that kind of time. First off, spoilers ahead. If you haven't watched this movie, you're going to learn a lot about it right now.
You're going to want to watch it after and figure out what we were talking about.
Yeah. So let's talk about the synopsis of Greenland. John Garrity. His estranged wife and their young son embark on a perilous journey to find sanctuary as a planet-killing comet hurtles towards Earth. I mean, sign me up.
I like it.
That's all I need.
I like it.
Sign me up. Amid terrifying accounts of cities getting leveled, the Garrities experience the best and worst in humanity as the countdown to the global apocalypse approaches zero. Their incredible trek culminates in a desperate and last-minute flight to a possible safe haven.
Sounds great.
Hello. So we're going to quickly go and listen to the trailer to get you guys in the mood.
Is this Clark, interstellar comet?
Right? I mean,
yeah, big news.
I don't see Clark.
Oh, maybe he's still sleeping.
Dad.
Some of Clark's larger fragments are now expected to enter our atmosphere.
That's right. I know that you're just.
What are they saying?
More of the same.
Whoa. Where are they going?
I don't know. The first chunk is about to hit.
Hit?
Only part of it. It's going in the ocean.
Would you look at that?
What?
Wait, where's the explosion?
We now are getting word that the fragment has hit Central Florida.
Oh my God.
Wait,
Are some more pieces gonna hit?
Come on, let's go.
But the sky's on fire.
2 days. They got it all wrong. There's a ton of fragments. Planet killers.
Space agencies are predicting an extinction-level event.
We're gonna be together, all right, get them?
We're just trying to get to safety.
They've been tracking the military flights to bunkers in Greenland.
It's their only chance.
Move back!
Find him. It's okay.
Clark's largest fragment will hit in less than 24 hours.
I swear, I'm gonna get my family into that bunker. I know you will, sir.
If you are hearing this broadcast, seek shelter immediately.
What is it? What's going on?
If you are hearing this broadcast, seek shelter.
John, go!
Yeah, so that is the Greenland trailer.
That was a good one.
Man, it was really good. I want to watch it again. I just saw it.
I like this movie.
Yeah, it was great.
It's good.
So, about the film, like Cam mentioned, it was released July 29th, 2020. So, yeah, probably not a great release date for theater.
No,
Were they even showing anything in theaters at that point?
I remember seeing Goonies because remember they played random old stuff in our theater, but I don't think any big movies like this were playing. Mm,
interesting. Directed by Rick Roman Wall. Interesting name.
Wow.
Main actors Gerard Butler, Marina Baccarin, and Roger Dale Floyd.
Oh, Roger Dale Floyd. He's a new actor.
He's a good actor. he'll do what you need in a movie. Guaranteed.
He's a great little boy.
Yeah. Metacritic score, 64. Not great.
No, that wasn't great.
Did not do great. So one of the good reviews, like one of the best reviews I could find by an actual critic was an 83.
Yeah.
Great. This is from the film stage. So at first glance, Rick Roman Waugh's Greenland appears to be a spiritual sequel to Geostorm, and it is not. That movie was horrible. Like, that was one of the worst movies. Almost as bad as Moonfall. Moonfall was worse.
Almost as bad as Moonfall, yeah.
Geostorm was so bad.
Yeah.
Also starring Gerard Butler.
We saw that one in theaters.
We did see that in theaters. And that was in 2017. This film was a silly, diverting disaster action epic. Greenland is decidedly more nuanced, cerebral.
Better put together, for sure.
And frankly, memorable. A bad review, this came from Daniel M. Kimmel, North Shore Movies. I don't know. He says, you may find yourself rooting for the only sympathetic character in the movie, the Comet. So
that's harsh.
Yeah.
Thanks, Daniel.
So mixed reviews, obviously. That's pretty typical for a film of this type, like a disaster film.
Yeah.
Right. It's not a thing that critics love to praise.
Yep.
Is disaster action films. So did you want to talk about these movie comparisons or anything?
Yeah. So I mean, for the most part, we've all seen some sort of asteroid strike movie or meteor. Armageddon and Deep Impact came out same year.
Yeah,
I remember.
98?
And I liked some of the aspects of those. Yeah. I personally feel like this one was better put together than those two in terms of like the survival side.
Look, man, I actually really liked Deep Impact.
You did?
I thought it was a great movie.
See, and I liked Armageddon more because it was like really Hollywood dumb. Like,
really?
It wasn't like... I don't know what it was about.
I felt like the writing was actually better in Deep Impact.
Oh, for sure. No, I agree with you 100% there.
Yeah.
I just liked the whole, like...
I see, yeah. For me...
Throw in, you know, what's his name? Steven Tyler. Yeah. Great song.
Yeah.
He goes with the movie.
Actor. That's very good. I just felt like the second half of Armageddon drug.
Oh,
like
it did.
When they go on the asteroid and it's in space, and I'm like, this is the worst thing
ever. I was at a drive-in theater on
first
a date,
half was great. You were making out anyways. You had no idea what was going on. Deep Impact, to me, the whole film was actually really well made. It was a good story. And I felt like I was
that was with
in the film.
Elijah Wood, right?
Elijah Wood,
yeah. I remember him like home, but on the motorcycle up the hill. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was some good stuff.
And then there's those other older ones like Night of the Comet, they become zombies. What other like asteroid strike ones are there?
Good
I mean,
question.
There's ones that just combine it as part of like a global problem.
I think
problem.
2012
yep,
there
it
was
did.
Part of that.
But anyways, like I think overall, like this one was a good,
great,
probably better in my opinion for like survival thinking.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Well, seeing what could happen. Maybe just because it's more modern, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's true. Like, that's the hard thing about comparing and rating. Because
these are back at different movies. Times and different.
90s was different, now is different, 80s was
my
different.
My focus was much different in the 90s.
Very different.
During focus. Movies.
Exactly. So it's a whole different game. So for me, out of 100, I give it a 79.
Yeah. I was on a double date, by the way, if my wife's wondering.
She had two girls.
Yeah.
Yeah,
two girls were together, and then me and my day.
Exactly. So 79. Let me talk about some of the things I liked about this movie. I loved the setup and the setting of this movie. It starts in like this upscale suburbia, which I think is a great place to start a movie. Like
it is
because it feels
probably the least amount of prepared people, right?
Maybe, yeah. But it's also like I just like the setting. I just feel like it feels real.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It did.
Like, other than like, oh, it starts downtown New York City, Manhattan. You know, it's like,
it's true.
That doesn't feel, I like.
Or in the NASA, like,
yeah,
you know, briefing room.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Or the bunker under the White House. But I just really like this. This felt real. I really liked the little sprinklings of the comet news beforehand. And it just kind of felt like, oh, it was exciting.
Downplaying it, but not like, yeah.
Like, this is really cool. This
I like
is happening,
that too.
You know? So I thought that was actually kind of a cool thing.
You can kind of see that more.
Yeah.
Like that's more realistic to me than like end of the world, like the first news thing.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And they really played pretty well on some of those apocalyptic movie tropes that just get me, obviously. The visuals of the jets and the
million jets in the sky.
The helicopters or whatever they were that were going on.
Yeah, those were kind of,
oh my gosh.
That was cool.
Very cool. All of the audio of the radio and the TV newscasters, and there's a ton of that. That just like, it's my thing, dude. I love it for some reason.
Yeah.
So it's really, really good how they did it. And I don't know, did you hear that they mentioned the Tunguska event at one
point? I did, yeah.
In the news, I thought that was kind of cool.
Similar to the Tunguska
event. Yeah, like, oh, that's cool.
How's that? That was cool.
Yeah. The scenes,
one of the coolest things, man.
Oh, my gosh,
that Tunguska event.
It's so awesome.
So confusing.
The scenes of the civil chaos and the riots as they're, you know, heading off.
Mm-hmm.
Felt pretty real. I think they did it a really good job. And again, the scene at the grocery store, I think what I love about like the suburbia and the grocery store thing is it feels so real. It feels so like everyday life when you get to a grocery store and then
it did.
The thing goes off, you know, the presidential alert.
Yeah.
It just feels so like it's, oh, this is how it would happen. I'd be at the grocery store or something. Cam and I had an experience like this actually once. It wasn't a presidential alert, but it was a missing person. And the entire grocery store,
I was
all
like,
their
come
phones,
on, Homeland Security, be calling me.
Please tell me there's a.
Could you imagine though, seeing that? I'd be like, this is bull crap. Like,
I know.
I don't even know if I'd dare take it.
I know.
You know?
I don't know. But yeah, that scene at the grocery store, something about grocery store scenes that I really like. There's one in 20.
I love a grocery store.
You just see all the boxes of food.
Cold. That makes me think of shopping for food.
Yeah, that's right.
I actually hate shopping for food.
I do too. But there's a scene in 2012 that's in a grocery store as well. That one was a little more dramatic because it splits in half. But the 2012
just
is so
a little
ridiculous.
Bit more.
I love the movie, but it's so ridiculous.
Well, the grocery store scene in World War Z is like one of my favorites too. That one's pretty intense.
Yeah, it's great. So something about a grocery store. If I ever did a film like this, I would definitely have a grocery store scene.
Yeah.
It's something great. And then like the points during the film as they go out and the skies are just like on fire. Like,
yeah.
It feels so.
The
like,
atmosphere feels pretty
oh
like doomsday.
Gosh. Yeah, so doomsday. Honestly, it reminds me of these like creepy dreams I used to have as a kid. That's what I was seeing in my dream.
You're taking care of the little baby alive. No, barely alive.
This is when I was a kid. I was probably like 12 years old.
Yeah, that was
dreams.
A newer one.
Yeah,
though.
This is that one I had like last year. this is a dream. It used to creep me out. It was like the end of the world. Like, because I remember like going to church and like learning about the end of the world and like there's gonna be a fire in the sky and I'm gonna come home like good crap, this is scary. And then I would have dreams about it for months and it creeped me out. But that's exactly how it looked in my dream, is these scenes that they have in this film.
I did like those scenes. Those were really cool.
Yeah, and the different ways that they portrayed the comet. Sometimes it was like little pieces, sometimes it was a big bright
little streaks
thing.
Across the sky that didn't hit, and then some hit. Yeah.
Very cool. Obviously, all the military vehicles and all the different emergency alerts that happened throughout the film, something I just, man, it just gets me. The acting is not fantastic. I'll give you that. But it never like made it
got,
hard to watch.
I feel like it almost got worse towards the end than it more than it did at the start. It was kind of weird to me.
So, and I'll talk about that in my dislikes. There's probably a reason that I feel like the end wasn't as great, but...
The end wasn't as great.
But the acting is not bad. A lot of people are like, oh, Gerard Butler sucks, or these people... It's really... It wasn't bad.
I like Gerard Butler.
She... The wife isn't the best.
No.
She's not the worst.
No.
Right? It never makes
it hard to
watch.
The kid was the one that was, like, good in some parts.
And then horrible.
Yeah, and then he was, like, terrible in some parts.
The soundtrack. I was actually really listening to the soundtrack because...
Was there a soundtrack?
There was a soundtrack. They had there was a soundtrack.
There were some dramatic moments. I heard some music.
But a lot of it was, which is really weird that it reminded me of this, but it reminded me of the show Friday Night Lights, the way that they used like these electric guitars with a lot of reverb, but they also layered on strings and stuff underneath.
I guess it wasn't as noticeable, so that would probably be a dislike for me.
Yeah, so it wasn't
Could have
great.
Been stronger.
It wasn't fantastic, but it definitely wasn't bad.
No.
It added to the atmosphere in a pretty good way. And obviously, as a prepper, the plot just like, it's porn. It is like, you can't get any better. I don't know, there's bunkers, there's...
It isn't porn, just for you, those of you that are renting it right now.
This is PG-13. You can go watch it.
Porn!
With your kid. My kids watched it. They love it. They love this movie. Freaks them out, but they love it.
It's freaky.
Yeah. I just thought this was a little extra thing. You know when he's looking at his phone and there's that QR code?
Yeah.
I actually scanned it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because I'm like, I wonder what that does. And it just takes you to
have secured your spot in the bunker.
I'm like, yes. No, it actually just takes you to a Google search for John A.
You
Garrity.
Beat me to it. You beat me to
Gosh,
it.
Dang it. I know. A Google search for John A. Garrity for his name in the film.
Oh, that's pretty smart.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. That's a good idea to scan that. I didn't think about it.
I saw it and I'm like, oh, I wonder
Sorry,
what
I got
does.
A little cold to sound weird today.
You do sound a little weird. So anyways, that's my likes.
I think my likes are similar. Obviously, I love the apocalyptic setting and like the normal life of everyday, you know, people and seeing how they kind of start to deal with it.
Yeah.
I like that it took a different, like a little new concept that I hadn't seen in that, like, the family was selected to go into a bunker. It wasn't like they were all trying to make it, because it makes you think of like what would those other people think of you or do?
Yeah.
And you kind of see that in the movie. I actually like that.
That's actually almost the exact same as Deep Impact.
See, and I didn't see... it's been so long. It was like, it was like that.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
He gets picked because he's the one that saw the comet.
I didn't even think about that.
So it's very similar.
Okay, so it was new to me.
Impact.
It was a new concept to me.
But no, because I like it. I think it's a great concept.
Yeah.
You know, but it's very similar to that in a way.
Yeah. And like you were saying too, like to me, the special effects for the most part weren't overdone. Like they were clean enough that it was believable.
Yep.
The end was terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking that last little part with the plane. Mm-hmm. And then when they come out of the bunker, I'm like, this looks terrible.
Yeah, it did not look good, did
like
it?
It was
we got 15 minutes to do this shot.
Yeah, everybody stand in front of this green screen.
Oh, it's bad.
So, but for that type of movie to not have a ton of terrible CGI.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
Like, I was pretty pleased with that. I hate when they overdo it. And they could have with this, and they didn't. I like the addition of a medical problem being...
Yes.
I know they do that sometimes, but this one made a lot of... Like, it impacted a lot of the storyline, which I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Because... Oh, I think we overlooked that a lot, and we talk about that.
Yep.
and then the other part is I liked the whole, and we'll talk a lot about this, the whole family being separated and the complication that comes with that and the need for a good, you know, plan for communicating and just seeing, like, how that made kind of a big mess for him.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of liked that that was a focus that would allow me as a prepper to look at that whole thing differently.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, those are my main likes. I thought the acting was, for the most part, better than most of his movies.
Yeah.
Like, he did pretty good.
Yeah, I do too.
And yeah. So I mean, for those are the things I liked about it. I gave it an 83.
Yeah, that's a good score.
Like,
it's a good score.
Honestly, most of his movies are pretty dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm entertained by them. So, like, I'm pretty entertained by him.
What was the one that I actually loved? A lot of people
like
didn't
the White realize. House.
White House Down.
Yeah, I liked that
one.
It was
so good. I don't think the sequels were good, but the first one.
No, that's the one I
was
thinking
great.
Of.
Great.
Yeah, I went and saw that in the theater. And
honestly, like, he did some.
It's a lot going on, but yeah. I'm like, it's fun, and I liked it.
The thing is for me, and this comes into my dislikes, I'm not, to be honest with you, I'm not a huge action film guy.
Yeah.
Especially new action films.
I kind of am.
I get very bored.
Yeah.
It's like almost too much.
And I can see that.
That's one of the things in this film that I felt like they leaned on the action too much from time to time. I just wanted to get more of like the psychological aspects, the characters, the choices. Like I just wanted more of that, like interplay and dialogue and stuff.
Yeah.
It's towards the end, I'm just like, it's almost too much.
The end was too much. Like, you know? I feel like they threw in too much action. Like, it was one of those where it was borderline what could go wrong. Anything that could go wrong has gone wrong in this
right.
movie.
Yeah.
And everything was too last minute. Like, survived the last minute.
That's like, did that was one of the other things for me.
I guess we haven't gotten into the dislikes, but.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my
dislikes. I gave it an 83 because I was entertained and it was dramatic and emotional enough that, like, it made you, like.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they did a good job with the dramatic scenes of when they would reunite with, like, their kid got taken for a moment. I mean, this is a spoiler. We told you that.
Yeah.
But, like, my wife was, like, you know, pretty shaken up by that, too. She's like, as much as my kids annoy me sometimes, like, it would be horrible
be the worst part.
Have one taken away from you.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather almost the kid die.
And you're just standing on
the
road.
To not know whatever happened to him.
And she's just, like standing
there.
The
worst possible thing. So they did a good job with that drama aspect of it, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, and like I said, my dislikes, I feel like it was too action heavy. I wish they would have leaned towards the drama more. It just feels like it gets lazy filmmaking, lazy storytelling. Just put something will explode.
Yeah.
We're going to drive a car into another car. It's like, God.
I guess I felt like the first half to almost three quarters of it wasn't overdone. It was almost a good balance, and then it got pretty bad.
Yeah, and it got pretty bad. But I guess that's just more of my...
See, and I probably like a little bit more action.
You probably do, yeah. The dialogue...
It's okay, we can be friends still. I like something different than you.
Exactly. The dialogue and writing is not top-notch, but I didn't think it was B-movie grade. A lot of stuff I was reading on this film, they're like, oh, this is a B-movie.
I don't think
B-movie,
so either.
B-movie. I'm like,
I actually liked it better the second time I watched it.
I did too. Yeah, absolutely. And that was a big... negative for me was the ending. They make it to the bunker with like seconds to spare. I'm like, really? Like, that's what you went for? There's like 2 seconds left.
It was ridiculous.
And it's like
closing the doors as it's like coming over them.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then even catching the plane at the last minute. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, I know.
It was pushed a little
hard. It's like you can accept maybe one of those last minute things, but everything can't
just
be last second. Yeah, it's
a story to tell.
Yeah, so those are my dislikes.
Yeah. Like I said, the last 20 minutes is where it kind of got a little over CGI and poorly done CGI. Mm-hmm. The plane crash and all that crap. It's got a little bit too much. And then the other thing I didn't like is it would show, like, the movie would show, like, some chaos with civilization. Like, people were storming and, like, charging at the airplanes and, you know, to get on. And then she took a bus into, like, I was like, how's the whole transit system still working at this point?
Well, didn't they say it was a military bus?
Oh, I didn't even. Even then.
For sure.
It's like, you're not selected.
But I think
I'm going to keep driving this bus right until the asteroid.
It was a military bus because when she was at that base, they're like, I'll try and get you a bus headed that way, a military bus headed that way.
Yeah, that's right.
But even still.
There was a lot of that I was like, I don't know that things would flow as smoothly with the military even. When you're like, you're not going to make it.
We're
going to
talk about this later on, but I 100% agree with that. Yeah.
And the other thing I didn't like is there was no dental tint. They talked a lot about taking care of the diabetes kid.
Yeah.
They had dental tint, or they had all this, but there, no dental tint.
Looks like he hasn't brushed his teeth in a few days. Probably needs a crown. needs a crown.
Yeah, diabetes will tear your teeth up. I can get him some new.
I'm a diabetic dentist.
Have you considered braces in this child?
Look, I got like 20 minutes. Let's throw some braces on this guy. Bring him back in next time you're
in. Then he flies off in his golden helicopter to Greenland.
He's like, I'm catching the next comet to Mars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Goes on an elevator deep into the center of the Earth. And we've been building this a while.
It shows like a list.
We know how to drill.
It shows a list of the people that were selected. They're all orthodontists and dentists, you know, and then John Garrity. How about all these guys, dentists?
I guess that was another part I didn't put in there is the likes is John Garrity didn't have some connection with the government. All the other movies, it's like, oh, let me look in my shoebox. I got a satellite phone that goes right to the CIA. White House.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a structural engineer or something, right? That makes total sense. So, yeah, lots of good, lots of bad.
Yes.
Fun movie. Do you want to talk about any of these notes before we move on, or are you good?
No,
right
this
now?
Was all, I okay. was just going to plug these in great. As we talked about other stuff.
And if you were going, if you're on this journey to get to Greenland, you've got to have some great clothing to get yourself there.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're going to get some great clothing, you're going to want to off a great surplus. Why not? Right?
It's a comet. It's a meteor technically once it crossed through.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm not
once it goes through the veil, it's now a meteor.
To inspire greater connection through adventure. They do that by creating extremely functional and everyday wearable products for a great price to take you off the grid. How do they do it? Well, they simplify your clothing options so you only need one piece of clothing instead of three or four. That's like the Comet onesie. I think is what
it is.
The Comet onesie.
Kamikaze.
Kami. They combine the best.
These aren't selling.
I don't know why. We got to mark these things down. Now these things are. They're all selling. They combine the best features from outdoor workwear and tactical into one everyday wearable package. Check out their site, offthegridsurplus.com. Get an extra 15% off with our code CASUALPREPPERS15.
Do it now. Don't be dumb.
So let's talk about
asteroids are coming.
I know. Comet. Okay. So let's talk about some of the prepper pickups, some lessons that we might have learned while watching this film, right? And I wrote a few things down.
This whole reason we do this.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
This is the whole reason. And we just like watching movies. Yeah, exactly. We want to make a part of this. Yeah. Why not? You know? So one of the things I wrote down was paying attention to news stories that might matter.
Facebook.
It was down the other day.
All coming from Facebook. Yeah. Was it really?
Yeah. One of the things that kind of first hits me with this movie is how the comet, it's like a known, everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not... This is not a surprise. It's not like, hey, there's a comet coming. Like, everybody's been knowing it. They knew it for weeks before this thing, right? Everybody's talking about news, schools, neighbors. It's a big thing. They're aware of it. They're just not sure.
They didn't know about it. Yeah, so worried. It was new enough, but it was like, it wasn't like,
yeah.
For this comes around every 10,000 years.
Right. This is a new thing, but they just didn't know if it was a threat. If they should be worried, right? And that's one of those things that you think about. It's like, we have so many news stories. And obviously, when you listen to Mad Mad World, we talk about crazy things going on in the world. Yeah. Lots of crazy stuff. We need to have We need to have a really good way of filtering all of that. Really good way of knowing what to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Right? And then also...
So you take the news... And you compare it to Facebook news.
Yeah.
And that's how you get your facts.
You ask your grandma.
TikTok.
That's been watching Fox News all day.
My mom's.
And your crazy uncle who's watching MSNBC, and you compare notes.
MSNBC.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But also, one of the things is that a lot of it isn't maybe what it seems. Especially like in this, the government knew what was going on. They had known about this comet for years. They just kind of said, it was a fast-moving comet. It came in here. We didn't know. It's coming. There's going to be some stuff that's going
to
hit.
It's tough to interpret both ways. You're just like, do I look more into this?
I know.
Or if they just say it's a bigger threat, then you're like, is it?
Yeah. But, you know, I feel like it's like a story like this. I would be like, oh, it's going to hit the Earth in some way.
In some way, right? Yeah.
Even if it's like small, there's going to be little fragments that are going to hit the ocean.
Yeah.
That would freak me out.
Me too.
That's enough for me to go, okay, what do I need to do to maybe prepare a little
bit? Yeah, that's the thing is everybody's just like, let's get some popcorn and watch it hit the ocean.
That'll be fun. Make it a big splish splash in the ocean.
You know? Yeah, I was just like, I would be way more paranoid than that.
I'd be like, I'm going to watch it from my basement with my gas mask on.
Yeah, I'd probably already be looking at a bunker.
556. Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, I'd be a little bit different, probably. I would be excited, but that's what I would be doing. So anyways, that's just something to consider as part of, you know, watching this film. That was a big piece of it.
Interpret the news. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Be careful about how you do it, right? I think this is one that Cam kind of was alluding to. Is like, how are you ready to leave everything at any given
like
moment?
Like right now. It's like you get a text that you've been selected and you've got to leave within the hour. Like, yeah. Are you ready to do that?
I'd be like, I got to work. I don't have PTO.
Seriously.
You know what I mean? But yeah, it's such... So when you think about in the movie, he got that presidential alert at the grocery store, right? He didn't, which is kind of weird how he's just like, oh, that's weird.
There's two things of that
right?
that bothered me. Uh-huh. It's like, look at all those helicopters. I'm just going to go get wine like my wife wanted and I'm going to head home. Like, yeah. I was like, wouldn't you be a little bit more like, we should probably get a bunch of water.
Yes.
And other things. It's like you're already there, and that grocery store wasn't busy at all. No. I don't know where that was.
Not in
Albertsons,
our town.
Probably.
Hey, I worked at Albertsons.
No, I loved Albertsons. It's just not busy because it's expensive.
Don't you bad talk Albertsons. That was my first job. All right.
Daryl Albertson took me under his wing.
Yeah.
And I worked there.
Yeah, that's right.
But no, I was just like, it's quiet in there. He saw helicopters. It's like, obviously, this is not just going to hit the water.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, yeah.
Get a little more, like act a little bit more.
Think about it, right?
He was just dead set on making his wife happy.
Yeah, that's what's the problem.
I got to get her. What was it you said?
Oh, no.
She said I should get wine and hot dogs?
That's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, us husbands.
So I can understand. He was stressed out because he's trying to,
yeah.
You know,
sure.
He wanted.
Trying to get back into the good
trying
graces.
Trying to get back in bed with his wife.
I was saying good graces, but yeah, in bed too, something else. But basically, he had maybe an hour between when that alert went off and when he had to basically bug out.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe
and then
it was
he got
a little
more. And then he got the text too, and it yes. still wasn't like, let's get out of this grocery store.
I know.
I was like, at least grab stuff on the way out.
That's
maybe a 5-hour energy?
Yeah.
Or
something. I just feel like, and I think that's probably a mindset thing, right?
No plan. I mean, he didn't. So it's panic.
And also that the feeling of the normalcy bias. Hey, there's no way. This
yeah.
is real, right?
Yeah.
And
it is a recording.
Yeah,
so it would
true.
Make me almost feel like,
man, that would be the
maybe this is like a joke
robocall ever to do that to yeah. somebody. Oh my gosh.
Because I was like, you would, I would hope if it was like a personalized message, but
yeah.
I mean, they couldn't do that for so many people.
Cam but. Hardy, you have been selected.
Your family has not been selected.
Woohoo. Lucky you. Don't tell anyone and just leave.
Please pack PlayStation and goods to eat for 6 months.
Sponsored by your local dentistry office.
Have you had your cleaning this month?
Please brush your teeth.
Show this code for a free toothbrush at your next cleaning.
Sponsored by Oral-B. So anyways, like, yeah, so he maybe had an hour by the time he got the alert and he had to bug out. Right?
Yeah.
So, and here's the thing is like you and I, we talk about bugging out all the time on the podcast and in private conversations. Yep. You know?
Yep.
We're just talking about bugging out, babe. Nothing serious. But are you really ready to up and leave your home base at the drop of a hat? And not only like, are you ready, but do you have the guts?
That's the thing. It's like, that's hard, man.
And like the fortitude to actually say, I'm going. We're just going. Like, that's a hard decision to make ever.
Yeah.
So it's something.
By the time my kids got their shoes on and all the stuff they wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. The comma would be smack down.
Yeah. You walk outside.
We'd be dead.
And you'd be dead.
Yep.
But anyways, something to consider, especially watching the movie, right? Medical issues.
Yeah.
How prepared are you to actually deal with every aspect of a chronic medical condition? I mean, there's a lot of just normal stuff that happens medical wise, but it's like in this film, bless
like
you.
Chronic sneezing.
Bless you, boy. The film obviously has that classic prepper.
I got
trope.
A dad sneeze. I apologize.
It was a dad sneeze.
Yeah,
it's not as bad as my dad's sneeze.
Really,
my dad sounds like he's trying to Sasquatch yell every time he sneezes.
It damages some of your hearing.
Oh my gosh, it's horrible.
But yeah,
someone in the family has diabetes, right? This is the classic prepper trope. This is a major health issue, and it's really tough to deal with on day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
But when you get into an emergency situation, it's even worse. And it becomes something that it's almost hard to say, how do you handle it? I don't know.
Exactly. No, right? It would be hard. And I think that, like, there are some families that are incredibly good at mm-hmm. understanding the disorder, mm-hmm. knowing what to do and kind of manage it on their own. But there's tons that don't.
They
like,
do
it's just crazy
yeah.
that they just rely on calling their medical clinic every time there's some change. It's yep. like, you can learn this. Like, you mm-hmm. can learn how to manage most of the issues and what to do if you can.
Yeah, and that's what I wrote down. I'm like, how well do you know the condition? How well can you manage it, especially in an emergency? And what if it became a long-term management situation where
you're the primary care provider? Like,
yeah,
you're the
you have
person
to that.
Take care of this medical
what
problem.
What if you
only?
Don't have meds that
yeah.
you need every day? What can you do in that instance? I mean, sometimes, like, it's
this one's, yeah,
what do you do?
You can't
I don't
do anything,
know.
But
at least have some ideas to
yeah.
try.
They had one little pouch,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's great, they have all of his supplies, mm-hmm. but like, she didn't, like, testing strips. It's just like mm-hmm. they didn't have anything other than that little packet.
Yeah. And so that was obviously a big piece of this film. Yeah. What are your alternatives? Can you do anything to mitigate it in any way? Is there exercise? Is there a special diet that can
yep.
help with this? Do you have that information? Do you even know? I was thinking about this when they go to the pharmacy to get him some, I suppose they were getting insulin or something there.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you even know what to look for?
Exactly.
Right?
That's the thing. There are a lot of different forms. Like in insulin, for example,
yeah.
like there's like 10 different names of mm-hmm. insulin. And then there's long acting, there's regular, there's ultra long acting, there's short acting. It's like, if you don't understand any of these,
tough
like
acting.
You could just kill.
Tenactin.
Yeah, you could just mm-hmm. grab a super short acting, give them the same amount,
yeah.
and they would kill them.
And you
know what I mean?
Know.
It's
yeah.
like, you need to understand what options, what's available for that disorder, because, yeah, mm-hmm. there are alternatives, and you need to know them.
Yeah, and that's just a bummer if you have somebody in your family that's dealing with that, but that's just reality for you.
Just part of your plan now.
You have to figure that out. So, anyways, that was a big piece that we needed to talk about. So this is funny that Cam and I both noticed this, that, and it's not for the reason you're probably thinking, but his wife was running on the treadmill when he got home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And he's like, well, how many miles? She's like, 5 miles.
Yeah.
Obviously she's fit in some way, right? She's been running. 5 miles is not that big of a deal for her. She was just, so because of that, that's a huge plus for her in any situation, but especially in a situation like this. I mean, did you notice how often they were running?
Always.
Or walking?
Yeah.
Or
both, like, of them were having to run back or mm-hmm. run between cars or on the highway because he couldn't drive. Like,
mm-hmm.
their fitness was, like, subtle, but it was
yeah.
something to think about in this movie a lot.
It definitely wasn't. Like, have you ever, just, like, out of the blue, you're like, I haven't been exercising. You're like, okay, I'm going to go do some running.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how bad it sucks?
It's terrible.
As you're doing it and the next day?
Yeah.
Like, how?
I think I told this story once before when we were in Washington. We had to catch mm-hmm. a plane. So we had to catch a bus in town that shuttled us up to the airport mm-hmm. In Seattle or Tacoma. And I remember we got there and I had forgotten, or no, I was like, what I'll do is I'll drop you guys off. I'll drive back, park our car at our apartment, and then I'll run and catch the bus. I didn't catch it. I did not make it. I was out of breath. And I was like, what if this was like a scenario
yeah.
where like I may never catch up with them again? Like mm-hmm. we got separated because of my freaking fat butt couldn't
yep.
run like
yeah.
a mile and a half and 15 minutes.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing is, are you ready for something that
yeah.
might come at you? And it wasn't just the running. When we go to this next point, that's part of it as well. How do you deal with hostile people?
Exactly.
How do you deal with people who are being aggressive? Because you're going to encounter them,
yeah.
especially in a situation like Greenland. Like, it's going to happen, right? In one situation, Gerard ends up killing a dude. Just to stay alive, just to survive. He
yeah.
had to, right?
Yeah. He's fending him off
yep.
and just happens to strike in the right spot.
That's right. But that's a big thing to be thinking about and to consider self-defense. In a major event like this, it's going to come into play. There's just no way around it, especially like this. And like, obviously this isn't something that's most likely going to happen, but on different levels of emergencies, pieces of this will be relevant, right?
Yeah. And I always think like you would know better than me, but I just remember like the times that I've rolled, mm-hmm. the exhaustion was probably the thing that would kill me the fastest.
Yeah.
So it's like, even, you know, it may not be somebody that even knows how to fight, but right. if you're rolling around and you can endure like, mm-hmm. and not lose your strength, yeah. you're going to have an advantage, right?
That's one of the biggest advantages.
Like, it's better if you know skills like right. jiu-jitsu, but if you can roll around and hold them off for longer than they can.
Yeah.
Then
I'll tell you what,
that's the part that scares me the most.
Me being a small dude at jiu-jitsu, obviously I'm technically better than some people, but most people are bigger, they're stronger, sometimes they're even faster. And so like, that's part of my plan is like, I'll let them wear themselves out trying to pass my guard for 2 minutes.
Total sense.
And then at the end, they're tired. So then I sweep them, get on top. But that's one of the things. Yeah. You have conditioning and you have some skill. It's just going to get you so much further.
Yeah.
In
if you can hold
situations.
Them off, they're going to tire. And then you,
yeah.
Yeah.
But also
then you can put a Stanley hammer in the side
exactly.
of their head.
But also that's the other thing is there is weapons.
Yeah.
You know, and so what is that? Some sort of hand-to-hand combat weapon, like, you know, a blunt object like that, or is it guns? What is it? Those are things to consider for these situations. I mean, I'm sure he wishes he would have had a pistol
right.
at some point throughout right. this film that he just didn't really have, right? I mean, I think he got a rifle after he left the father-in-law's place.
Yeah, he's like, here you go.
Yeah.
22 long range.
That's right. Killed all the rabbits and the squirrels on the way out.
It's a Benjamin. Pumping it up.
Yeah.
He's got a full chamber.
Red Rider with a
PSI is maxed out right now.
That's right.
Shoot whatever you want.
I got two more CO2 cartridges for you. Anyways.
Careful.
Yeah. You shoot your eye out.
You're an engineer, not a marksman. Be careful.
You're an engineer, not a sniper, dumbass. Don't point that at people.
I know. It's pretty funny, though, how many people think when they have a scope, they're like, I'm a sniper.
Yeah.
No, you're not. Hit anything.
You're not.
No.
Not a sniper. Another thing I thought that was really interesting was like the interplay between him and his neighbors before and after him being alerted and being selected, right? He has some great friends. They had some interactions and you kind of tell that they were friends and he was been estranged. He'd moved away a little bit for
yeah.
a couple weeks or something, whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
But they were all on really good terms. He had friends, right? And they were all coming over for a birthday party. But you see how fast that changed when they all saw that he
yeah.
got selected.
Why did my phone get
yeah,
it?
Yeah, what the?
Why does his phone get it?
Yeah, and like, I was like, oh, geez, that lady's pissed.
She was pissed.
She
instantly.
Was not happy, right?
You got an Android, that's why.
That's, yeah. Yeah. You got that fast internet. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do about it? but that is something to think about in any SHTF event, you know? And it might not be that obviously you're picked to go to a government bunker. That's probably yeah. not going to be the scenario. But in a power outage that lasts longer than people hope, you're going to have like working power or something mm-hmm. in your house, lights. Maybe you have clean water and food when they don't, or a vehicle with fuel. That's that, you know, it doesn't matter how good those relationships are. They could very much be tested in those scenarios.
They would.
Do you
they
know
would
what
for
I mean?
Sure.
And so that's where it comes, like, how gray man do you be? How close do you get with your neighbors? I don't know.
Yeah. And
you
that's one point I thought about too. It's like, don't let your text go up on your TV.
Yeah. Well, I think it went
it was coming
TV,
through
right?
it was like
coming through
yeah, directly through
or something.
But right? yeah, the thing is like if and I think I might have mentioned mm-hmm. it or do mention it later is just the fact of like, would you even tell anybody that?
Yeah.
Like if it's like your family selected knowing that you're like, man, it's going to make people mad.
Yeah.
Would you tell them?
Well, and I think that was why they did it the way they did it in the film.
Because he couldn't hide it from them.
He had no choice, right? So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And along with that, right after that point, they're trying to leave and the neighbor's like, take my kid.
Yeah.
Take my kid. And that's a
which
really
makes
hard
a
choice.
Lot of sense.
It does. Like,
they have a chance. Maybe they have mm-hmm. a chance of getting the kid in, but you also risk leaving that kid in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
to take a plane.
You also risk your family exactly. having to deal with one other
person.
No,
we told you, you don't take anybody else.
Yeah.
You're done.
So, and that's the whole thing. Like, you can't take in every little lost soul out there in these situations. You have to have a plan beforehand on what that looks like. You have to put your family first. Like, you can't just give them all your food. You would not live if you did this, yeah. right? So you have to know it's going to be some really tough choices probably. And mentally, you need to be ready for that. You yeah. probably need to talk
these
to your wife about
these deodorant sticks
this.
Are ours. That's right. Take a big bite out of
my butter deodorant.
Butter cinnamon deodorant.
Man, I still want it.
It still sounds
pretty
good.
Bad, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's probably something you need to talk to your wife about, Cam. This one right here. I was thinking about her the whole time.
Which one?
Taking everybody's kids and feeding
Seriously.
Everybody.
Yeah.
She's just too kind-hearted.
She's like, can you get out? I'll drive so I can take this kid.
Yeah. Let's just give him our car. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Here's my band.
Have our kids. I don't know.
Here's my license. You can use my name. Yeah. You'll get on that
exactly.
plane.
Yeah. So,
I don't know why she sounds like she's from the South. You get that kid on in there.
Y'all just do whatever you need.
Y'all great.
Yeah.
Y'all great. Take this license and get on down.
That sounds like Tawny, man.
Yeah, she definitely
really
sounds
does.
Like that.
Also, something that I thought was a great scene on the way to the airbase, they look and they see all the looting, the rioting. And his thing was, what he said was, that didn't take long.
Yeah.
Right? That's yeah. exactly what he said. I don't know how accurate that is, but I would assume in this situation there's going to be
That's accurate because yeah. I've watched the movie too and he does say that.
Okay. I'm talking about how accurate that is to real life, but thanks for the corroboration there. But in a situation where we're faced with like in 48 hours there's going to be certain destruction. 90% of the population is going to go mad.
They are.
They're going to
go like this
mad.
Is the end of the world.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Go to Walmart and do what you want.
Burn things. Yeah. Break stuff.
Yeah.
Do all of the crazy things you've had in your head for yeah. a long time.
There's probably. Even that one scene that like they're just partying.
Oh, yeah.
You know, up
yeah.
on the top of the like building and watching like.
That's true.
They're just like, screw it. I don't care. It's so the yeah. end of the world. I'm so, like, hopefully people are more like that.
That would be the hope.
Rather than busting, stealing microwaves.
I would assume. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do with a microwave? I'm going to heat everything up for the next 2 days. You know what I mean?
I want to cook everything.
Yeah. Cooking all the hot pockets in the whole town. You wait.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That is a good idea. Anyways, that was just something I thought that was interesting to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Also, kind of in that same scene, he hits that traffic jam, right?
Yeah.
And so he has to find another route right away. And he backs up. He does some crazy driving.
He does.
And it's like, whoa. And it's like, sorry.
Tawny was watching it with me. Uh-huh. And I was like, this movie is about as real as it gets. He's backing up like full speed, mm-hmm. incredible driving. Yeah. And she's like scoffing at it. Like,
You hit the sign. You're going to be
and
he that.
Does. She doesn't tell him, like, good job. You did yeah. a great job. She's criticizing his driving.
Yeah,
for Very sure. realistic movie.
And you also didn't put your dishes away forward left. Okay.
Yeah. You remember that wine run at the grocery store? Yeah, yeah. Well, you didn't get it.
You didn't get a hot dog bun.
Remember he comes in. She's like, well, where's the wine? Where's the bun?
He's like, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You can't ever win.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough.
So that.
Not with my
that's
wife.
That's why.
I'm saying with other people's wives.
Exactly.
My yeah. wife's great. Yeah. She's the best. But yeah, so this traffic. So he busted out there in reverse, getting out.
Long way along the shores.
Long
Amazing.
Way. But in those situations, you might have to do some things, take some action that you normally wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Which would be something like that. But also, it's a good reminder, understand alternate routes to different places that you might have to go in these situations. Maybe you need, maps.
Yeah.
Either paper maps or downloaded maps to your phone, because obviously the internet probably, he wasn't getting data on his phone.
Yeah.
He was getting radio, which was good, but he wasn't getting data. Like, that's going to be a whole nother thing.
iHeartRadio.
For sure.
That. I like that too, because it's like, you need to understand the capability of your vehicle. So many
yes.
people think that they have like a 4-wheel drive and they're in a Mercury Milan like me.
I don't know. That thing's been through
and
hell.
They get stuck just like cutting through the median, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And like they just plug it up. And so, you need to understand like what you can and can't do in the vehicle that you have.
Exactly.
It has 4-wheel drive doesn't mean it can go through a river.
Yeah, definitely doesn't mean that. So probably one of the
so
biggest
practice it. Practice. Yeah. See,
go
how,
through the river.
See how deep you can get.
See how deep you can get.
Yeah.
That's what your mom said to me last night. So one of the worst I had to. I couldn't. I tried to stop myself too, like twice.
It came out.
One of the worst offenders
was you. It's you.
It's me. I'm sorry. I knew I shouldn't say it, but I still said it. What's wrong with
it's
me?
Weird.
They leave the kid's life-saving meds in his bag that he has control of. Probably the worst thing they did in the whole movie. Right?
Meds or blanket. I'm put a blankie in there.
Yeah. Wrap them up with your meds. That will keep you alive for the rest of your life. Not a good idea.
No.
Have a plan for those most crucial items in an emergency and don't let the 7-year-old have them. Okay? She's like, you hold the 5-5-6. Okay?
Yeah.
I got to drive.
Yeah. That was a big mistake.
Yeah. So make sure you have a different plan. And I'm sure Cam will talk about this. And a different kid. One that's responsible. That wants to grow up and be a dentist or something. You know what I mean? That's a head on his shoulders.
A life changer.
Exactly. And then they had to split up because the meds weren't there. That's probably not a great idea in that situation.
That was another thing, yeah. It's like, what do you do? He needs to go back, but he doesn't want them to go. But it's like, man,
I would.
They're last-minuting everything else.
You come with me. Yeah. We're just going to run, right?
Yeah.
Put the kid on your back and go.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I
would
do.
Kid in the dental tent.
come back to a $6,000
bill.
Yeah. And so in the near this same scene, the lady mentions that her family wasn't selected either. She was just there doing her job. That's the military lady. I wonder how, I mean, really?
She's loyal, man.
Yeah.
Loyal to the military.
Do you know how many people in the military were there in that scene?
Yeah.
I assume some of them will continue to do their job.
I think so too.
A lot of them with 48 hours to live.
That's tough, man.
No, dude.
Yeah.
And we talk about military. So military are probably more likely to continue to do their job. But what about the guy at the police station or the guy at the water
plant?
What
about the medical tent?
Or the medical tent?
They didn't say they were going. Maybe they were the last to be, you know, evacuated and they're...
Yeah. I just feel like 48 hours to destruction, most people are going home.
By the way, I'm pretty sure that the lady that helped him was a PA.
Yeah, 100%.
Because the doctors aren't going to be in that tent.
No.
They're already out the bunker.
Yeah, they're hitching rides with their dentist friends to the bunker is what they're doing. Yeah. Right?
PAs are still on base, fixing stuff because they're like, man, we didn't get picked.
Yeah.
We got to pay off our student loans.
I got to try.
Keep working.
Yeah. Interest is piling
just in
up.
Case things fall through.
Mm-hmm. So a big piece of this, the crux of this entire story is almost communication.
Yeah.
If the phones worked, much of the problems would have been resolved throughout this entire film. They did do some good things, I think, where they left notes.
Yeah, she did that. Right.
At certain points. I think he left a note somewhere too. She left a note. But having a communication plan is so crucial in any SHTF, but especially in something like this.
Yeah, and that's something he didn't talk about. Like, let's say they didn't go with him to go get those supplies.
Right.
It's like they didn't talk about any way of like, what if I don't make it back? Like, how are we going to...
Take 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Say, if you don't get on the plane.
Yeah, stay...
Wait for me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Or get on the plane. I'll just assume you've made
it. I'll just assume.
And I'm not going to...
And we're all going to die when the planes explode. But just thinking about this, there's some good places to start, and obviously a family emergency plan is a really good place to start, but you probably need to get more in depth with communications than just that. But
yeah,
it was a big deal here.
It was a big deal.
Yeah. Trust throughout the film is a big issue. Like, who do you trust in times like these? You get in a car with a couple that look like they're just, you know, nice, regular old people. Maybe he was on The Office or something.
That part was pretty, they did a good job with that.
They did, yeah. And they take his kid.
Off The Office, yeah.
They take kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a little weird. And then
you could tell, I liked it. You could tell that he was running it through his head, like, how can I take advantage of this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like he was a bad person. He was just like, this might be my only chance to save my life, my butt.
Yeah.
So he turned into a bad person.
So maybe he wasn't a bad person, but he had those tendencies.
You know? It's like, he might not have been bad, but he was playing it out in his mind for so long. He's like, I'm going to do this.
So if you think about it, you're a good person. I'm a good person. We wouldn't do what he did.
No way.
Right?
No.
So, but
especially not to a kid.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that you know that would.
They would.
Right? Yeah. You know them. I know them. They would do that. So
I know some that would drag the kid out and take the wife.
I know some that try it just on the weekends because they got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's how bad they
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
Okay.
They're scary.
Yeah. So
I don't know why we're friends.
I don't know. I hate hanging out with them, but it is what it is. This is something that Cam brought up, right? Grocery store run. Wouldn't you consider even more?
Oh, yeah. That's the part we talked about. Planes, it's like, right? There's two parts there. It's like you see the planes beforehand. Wouldn't you get a little more? And then while you're in there, you get a text that you're going to be evacuating. Wouldn't you get a little more?
I would think so. And then like last, would you be okay possibly surviving in a situation like this if your family's gone and you don't know anybody else?
Yeah.
See, that's where I would consider like, maybe it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's some scary stuff.
I don't know. I can't, I don't know. But it's something to consider.
Yep. You do need to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's scary in this whole situation?
What?
Cybercrime.
I don't like it.
Just recently.
Yeah.
The healthcare system got hacked. And so, I think they paid that ransom. So our insurance rates and premiums are going to go through the roof because of this, because their mistake.
So Facebook, a whole Meta platform was down yesterday or the day before.
Was that a hack too?
I don't know, but I saw some tweets out there saying they think this might've been a Chinese hack.
Nice.
So something to consider.
Yep. So not only are they attacking these big corporates, but they're attacking you all the time. They're trying to get your information.
Yeah.
You can protect yourself. If you get Surfshark, it's a virtual private network that can protect you and all of your devices, not just one or five. Mm-hmm. It protects all of them that go online. You can go gray man, basically. Shield your information from websites and online services. It's a much safer option than what you're doing now.
Yeah.
I promise you that.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't have to worry about malware, phishing, and obnoxious emails. They do have service where they can email you and let you know that your email has been compromised, which is like every other day, every hour.
Every hour of every day.
I have to change my passwords more than, I don't even know what it is right now.
I have no idea what my password is.
But yeah, you can get Surfshark today. It's the most affordable way to go gray man online. If you use our code casualpreppers at surfshark.deals/casualpreppers, you get 83% off from 24 months. Plus they throw in three more months over 2 years for less than $60. You can't beat it. You can't beat it.
Mm.
And it's fully refundable. If you just want to try it out, see what it's all about. Maybe you're going to do some sketchy stuff for a month.
Mm.
Try them out.
I like that.
Yeah. So let's talk about the war game. How would we handle this plot in real life? I mean, we've kind of talked and hit on that through this, but a little more in detail. So the event itself, we talk about preparedness in general.
Mm-hmm.
If you were prepared now, I mean, like we've been doing, like we've been talking about, having a plan in place, you would save a ton more time than they did in this movie.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like they came back there. The one thing I wish I could have seen is what they packed.
I know. You have no idea what they were
doing. Can we just lay it out what they threw in there? Be like batteries, a peanut butter bar.
Did they talk? They talked about like what kind of clothes to bring or something.
They were for a second there. Right? She's like, what do you want? Just one bag each. Like, what do we put in there?
And yep.
So they throw it in there. And then when they get to the airport, it's like consolidate that.
Yep.
So it's like crazy. And that's the thing is if you have a bug out bag built and you have to trim, I mean, even narrowing that down, you have way better supplies than you would just throwing something together in an hour.
And this, it keeps, I have to adjust my bug out bags, man, because I look at a situation like this. I would like more clothing and just like normal stuff that I don't have in those bags.
That's true.
I mean, I have some.
Because
right.
It's like, you got all this camping gear and knives and like a tent. And
I don't need that
like,
in a bunker.
I could have put all this in there.
Yeah. It's like, it's almost like you need two different bags sometimes.
You kind of do. You kind of do.
I don't know.
And that's a good point. Like,
I don't know.
We used to have, I remember before I got into prepping and building a bug out bag, we had like a 72-hour bag kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was like clothes and shoes, toothbrush, toothpaste, and like some cash and stuff. I'm like, you probably still should have something like that.
Yeah.
That you could kind of swap some stuff out of your bug out bag.
Or you could have a hybrid bag that has more of that stuff in it as a bug out bag. Like you could.
Just pouches. You should like Velcro them, put them in there.
Heck yeah. Why not?
Yeah. So it makes you think a lot about like being prepared at any moment for sure. And then anytime with these scenarios, it's like, I would plan for the worst if they were talking about a comet that could potentially spit off some small pieces that are going to hit Earth. I'm not going to be like, if you watch it on TV.
Yeah, I've read too many
like,
books.
I'm going to be more prepared
I've
than
watched
that.
Too
I'm going
to
take it more serious than that.
Yeah, like it's just like, oh, this thing is happening. It's not going to hurt me to maybe be slightly more prepared for the next 3 months or whatever while this thing is happening.
Yep. So all the stuff that we've been talking about, being prepared for anything, puts you in such a better situation than they would have been, that they were.
And even if you didn't get the call to go to the bunker, you were going to be at home. And you couldn't go to the grocery store. You could try
anything. It's like, maybe I will try a cave.
Sure.
I'm going to go stay in a cave.
That's what I was thinking too. Like, wouldn't you be like,
everybody's like, there's no, I can't get into a bunker. I'm done.
I'd steal a backhoe. I'd be digging holes or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly.
What do you got
crawling
to lose?
Crawling in the crawl space. I'm going to be okay.
You got nothing to lose.
I know.
Dig a hole.
A lot of people just seem like they're just like done.
Yeah.
I can't go to the,
you know. Or I'd go find a bunker somewhere in town. What else you got to lose?
I will say this, like this, the two scenes when they get on the plane with all those people, I'd be like, I'm out. I can't do it.
Never mind. I'm getting COVID for sure in here.
It's like, I'm terrified.
Yeah.
Like it's that little teeny plane. I'm like, risk dying in this little crammed plane.
Or the plane with all the people in it just sitting on the floor, like 9,000
people. Yeah, that one too is like, gave me anxiety.
I'm no,
like,
thank you.
Yeah. So, the other thing is, and I'll skip that part. Let's talk about the comms again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, who doesn't have some sort of walkie-talkie
baby
monitor? Something like baby monitors are going to work very well, but, anything more than just their phones. I mean, that was the only thing they relied on and that's what a lot of people are going to do, but it's like, there's proximity apps too, you know, that you could use, like the, let's say you do have an Apple Watch. They have that Bluetooth one. Mm-hmm. So it's like you could try and talk through that, even though you don't have any network or service.
But the situation they were in at the airport, a two-way would have been perfect.
Two-way would have been way
perfect. They were within a mile.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Like, why not?
Yeah.
Have that as your backup, especially if you knew that the phones weren't working.
Exactly.
I think you would assume that at that point.
So for us in preparing for this scenario, it's like, have your battery backups ready to keep charging your phones. I never saw them do that. No, I mean, they don't need to show that, but I'm like, man, their phones lasted like
3 days. Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. So, and the other thing is everybody has walkie-talkies. That's got it. Like, you have to have a backup communication plan that way.
Mm-hmm.
As for the vehicle, obviously, like, having it ready, having it full of gas, supplies that are in that car, it's like, let's say you do, you know, bug out and you're like, I didn't put a lot together in my bag because I was in panic mode. If you have your vehicle kit, you have other supplies in
there. You have other stuff.
So make sure whatever your vehicle is for your bug out plan, if it's just the Honda Pilot, like basically mine is, that it's ready to go and it has the supplies that you need and it's capable of making it places.
Mm-hmm.
Voice is giving out.
That's all right.
Grocery store, obviously, it's like you're there. Any opportunity that I had, I would pick up more supplies.
Ah, man.
If I was in a grocery store with any of this, I'm going to pick up more supplies.
With the presidential alert, like, that's just like, okay.
This is a no-brainer.
I need to get some food.
Yeah.
Water. Right now.
Yeah. A bunker I have enough.
Man,
all good.
I'll get there easy.
I've been selected. I don't care.
Yeah, no thank you.
Yeah.
No.
Again, with those medical conditions, like, understand everything about them, what medicines you can take, what medicines can be used in place of the prescription medications. Make sure you have that 90-day supply.
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff is super important here that we know better than we would do.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is cash. Yeah. You don't see it used much here, and, you know, they're not doing a lot of bartering or exchanging any, like, valuables, but I think that would come into play a lot more.
Yeah, it definitely could have been.
You know, it's like, will you give me a ride? Here's my Rolex.
Yeah.
Or, you know, here's some cash. Like, some people are still going to see that as like more valuable than anything else.
They're a
like,
lot of people
what
will.
If things fall through? Like, I got a bunch of cash by giving somebody a ride to the airport.
Yep.
So, cash on hand, super important. And then a weapon. And then, like, having a handgun probably is going to be better than not.
Right.
Something that's gives you a distance but self-defense at the same time. Mm-hmm. What if you do go up into the mountains and live in a cave? Then you got something to hunt with.
Like, yeah.
There's so many other reasons to have this. Like, my wife watched. She's like, where'd you get a hammer? Like, that guy that
it
had
in
that.
The truck, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Probably.
I would was like, anywhere?
Yeah.
He was like, it was just,
hammers are everywhere.
But it was just funny because it's like, oh, great. He has a weapon no one else has. Mm-hmm. But
look to your left. There's probably a hammer there. Everybody, right now, look.
But she had a point. It's like, great. Now the guy that's hostile has them. They're going to have some weapon. Like, people like that are going to be carrying.
Wouldn't
a
you
weapon.
Grab something if you were riding in a truck, in the back of a truck with a bunch of people you didn't know in an apocalyptic situation.
Yep.
You see a claw hammer somewhere, you're going to grab that sucker and put it in your pocket.
Yeah. It gives you a lot more than your fists.
Gosh, yeah.
And then hugely important again is the fitness thing.
Mm-hmm.
Through both of them, both parents were running half the time in this movie.
Yeah.
Having fitness to be able to push further, longer to rescue somebody or to just get away from disaster.
Right.
Vehicles aren't always going to be usable. Like you're going to run into traffic or they're going to get stuck or you're going to have a breakdown or it could be an EMP. So you've got to rely. I mean, there's nothing wrong when you're fit. Like there's no loss there.
No.
There's no medical problem.
No.
You're reducing your risk with medical issues. You can go further. You can carry more. It's just...
You look better.
You look better, too.
That's the whole thing.
You look better, too. You
gotta look good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the self-defense, like, Kobe should be talking more about this because I'm a hypocrite here, but it's important, like...
Yeah.
And like I said, even me going and experiencing the jujitsu and realizing, like, I need more endurance. Because even if I don't have a lot of skill, if you can hold out a lot longer, your chances are way, way better.
Your chances are much better. Yep.
And then I guess we didn't talk a lot about this. This was thing that bugged me a lot is like they had those little wristbands on. If they would have practiced just even the slightest bit of gray man,
just shove those up your sleeve.
It's like
so no one can.
They're
see
demonstrating salvation to everybody. It's like the only chance of somebody surviving, and it's on display.
Yeah,
you know, doesn't.
I thought it was real odd. But then also, like, what were the chances they were actually going to use those in the end for them? Like, would you be better off just pulling those off and put them in your pocket?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like...
Because you think anybody could just snag that.
Yeah, you've already been denied anyways. So why not just, like, put it away as a... Yeah. As a
so he, like, set himself up as a target. Yeah, and she did, too.
She did, too.
And so it's like...
Well, it was actually the kid...
Oh, that's true.
It. He's the one that mentioned it.
That's true.
Yep.
And the wife saw it, and then the guy's like, I won't get her.
Yeah.
Get that kid.
I want that little kid.
But there wasn't much gray man practiced here, and so it's super important in this video, in this film actually showed like the risk that, you know, could happen because you're not practicing gray man.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So those are some things that we know as preppers that we could do better, and that the movie just makes you think about more.
It really does. You know what else it makes me think about? Friggin' Tech Pack.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Because today's podcast is brought to you by the fine folks at Tech Pack, the only tactical subscription box with useful professional-grade stuff inside. Use our code CASUALPREPPERS. You're going to get a free $70 machine-made part from Next Level Armament. It's a deal that you cannot beat. You cannot beat it with a hammer. All right?
Nope.
So go check out tacpack.com. Use our code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
so
all
that's
the subscription boxes are going to have like a bracelet secure device.
Yeah. That's funny.
You can't pull it off.
Yeah. So that's it. That's Greenland. Fun film.
It was. Times. It was a good one.
Lots of good things
made
to
me
consider.
Think.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, right?
Look, really, I watched it with my kids, and like, there was actually some really good conversations that come up as you're watching it. Like, oh man, that's crazy. Like, yeah, well, that might happen, right? Like, that could be a thing. And so, I think it's a good one. Yeah, idiot.
Of course, it could happen.
Of course,
as a movie.
That's why we're watching it. Go brush your teeth. I don't have money.
Can't afford to have a cavity during all this.
Awesome. Anything else, Cam?
No, I think that's it.
That's
good movie. You guys should check it out.
You really should. All right, guys. Thanks. Stay survived.